Welcome to part two. Jay Abraham and Tony Robbins in London.
I own an internet marketing business. It's a small business. And I started over the last 12 months to get into coaching and seminars. And I want to go serve people. You know, the business I'm reeling in is helping people get unstuck and create extraordinary lives. And so over the last year, I've just iterated. I started by doing a free seminar and seeing if what was in my head was really helpful to people, and I found it was transformative. Business owners came up to me and said, you need to bring this to employees. College students came up to me and said, you have to bring this to college students. And it's all mindset and psychology. So I feel comfortable going into any environment and working with anyone and creating transformation. So I'm trying to figure out how to compress time. In that example, in the services sector, how can I reduce, you know, decades to years and years to months? I got into this business because it comes from my heart. So I work through a lot of my own psychology because I find myself being distracted about going and starting another business and making money because I know I could go do it.
My first response, and I'd love to hear yours, is your conflict is not going to be a business conflict. Your conflict is going to be internal conflict. The internal conflict is you want to be the one delivering it. You want to be the one creating the transformation. You want the emotional juice, but you also want the economics that come from scale. So you can get scale. You're smart enough. You can figure out scale. You get a scale by saying, what do these people need? And what's a resource that's out there that I could deliver to these people? And someone else has the overhead, the time, the energy, the effort. And the accounting firms, one of them's 75 years old. I mean, hundreds of years between them, a billion in resources, and deliver them. And I'm going to coach them and help them how to deliver for that marketplace. And I get a benefit from that, both impact that's larger than I could ever do myself, and I get economic impact as well. Pretty phenomenal. You're smart enough to be able to do that, but you're in a conflict because you want to be the guy. And here is a man's world, ladies. A woman's world is a different model, but men are all different, but one thing is universal in the masculine energy. We all have a story of what life is supposed to be. You do too, ladies, just a different story, and it's based on hierarchy. That's what's different from you. He is not at the level of hierarchy he wants to be yet. Concentration of power is the ultimate key to success. Most people split their focus too many times. They start 20 little businesses because they feel good. This one isn't doing enough, so I'll do another one. It'll be a better industry. It's more fun. It's always fun to start something new, and then nothing is successful. What he has is a psychic conflict. It's not a business conflict. The psychic conflict is I'm not where I want to be yet, and I know I'm capable, and I know I'm going to get there. But when he says, I know I'm going to get there, there's a little fear still because he's human, says, I know I'm going to get there. I've convinced myself I'm going to get there, but what if I don't? So it's that inner conflict. That is your challenge. And the answer is you have to decide where you're going to concentrate your power. Not means you can't build the business too, but you got to say, which one is more important to me right now? Because if you're going to do something fast, you better concentrate your focus. The other way you could do it is you could say, who has huge impact, much larger than I do scale-wise, and what could I deliver of value for them? Or how could I take them to a resource they need or want? And I become the middleman of creating that, and therefore I create a partnership. And in that partnership, I get my scale immediately. And then in that scale, I provide some sources that allow me to fill my psychic wounds and or desires and or needs simultaneously.
Right.
And so the only way to get scale quickly is buy it, lease it, rent it, partner it, right? Give it. Own it. I mean, there's multiple ways to do what you want to do. You just got to think of multiple ways to do it. That'll you scale. But yours is the psychological split. You're not going to get all of it at the pace you want without concentrating your power primarily in one of those areas for a period of time. It's like you can get everything, just not all at once. So you have an unbelievably compelling future once you plant your feet. Your problem is you've not planted your feet because you want it all now, and it's not going to happen. And that's not to say you can't have it very quickly. You'll have it the quicker you concentrate your power. What would you say?
I would say that what we just heard was a profound dissection and deconstruction and reconstruction and analysis with metaphoric analogies. I've got a couple of questions because I'm not sure what he does, because transformation is a pretty,
I agree.
It's a very amorphous thing. And you said I was doing internet transformation, and then I'm not saying this. I'm just kidding. Then I'm doing this, and I would ask a couple of things. First of all, how many people have you been exposed to quantitatively? What was their profile? Were they people who have been exposed in the past to anything like this? Is your transformative process decisively different, unique, and it can be explained and demonstrated? I want to know all that stuff because I'm not sure actually what he's got, because the answer may be that your transformative is proprietary and superior, or you're better off making a deal with somebody else. You can answer all those questions, or you can just think about the answers to all those questions. But I'm troubled. I don't know what we're really dealing with. Yeah. But I don't want to burst your bubble. You did great.
No, you're troubled because he's not clear.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if what you're doing is profound enough. That means it's not negative, because it means you might have to go back to that you deserve to be doing it at that aspiration level. I don't know what the impacts are. I don't know what the highest application is. And, I mean, I think without that, I can't give him good answers.
I agree. Give him your best answer to that question.
Yes, I don't have an answer to that question. Yes, there's a framework and it's proprietary. There are distinctions that are my own, and I...
So how many, let's start with make it real sure. granular. How many people have you actually, and I don't mean it negative, I'm just trying to correlate. How many people have you done this to, with, for, whether it's in person, vicariously, by webinar, any form?
About 150.
And what was the profile of those people?
Initially, they were people I knew. That was the profile.
Okay.
People who I knew who were stuck in some
area. Cool. If I step on you, that's my style. Yeah. He's much more respectful. Were they people that have ever been exposed to any kind of transformative process?
Some.
Okay. Give me the gradients of definable transformation you produced, and what were the timelines?
People had things that they wanted to do, goals or dreams that they had given up on that became possible again.
For example?
Starting a business.
Okay. And how long did it take you to get them to realize that dream? And did they realize that dream, not just realize that dream was realizable?
30 days.
Okay. You spent 30 days with them?
No. They went to a seminar and then said...
How long is the seminar? What'd you charge for it?
It's 2 days. It was $97.
Okay, so that's so. But of course, you could upgrade it.
Yeah,
is in your heart of hearts, is what you have done, are doing, whatever is proprietary. If you went online right now, and you'd studied every different slice and dice of transformative, whatever you want to call it, training, methodology, ideology, philosophy that's out there, do you have a decisive advantage in any all of those levels? And if the answer is affirmative, why? And if it's not, what would you have to do to get there?
So the answer is affirmative.
Okay, why?
Because...
And how?
I believe that the way this framework operates, it explains in a pragmatic, almost scientifical and practical way, the philosophy that a lot of people like to sit around and talk about at a coffee table or a social event.
If your life depended on one sentence... That was much more finite.
This is a great question for everyone.
That was much more finite than transformation, and you had and you knew that I was agonizing and tormenting because I wanted something. I might not even know what I want, but let's even say I did. But I was unable to achieve it. What would you tell me you have that I can benefit from if you had to basically save my life and future in that one sentence? What would you say?
That I could train you on the mindset and success principles you need to achieve what you want to achieve.
I'm still tormented.
Yeah.
I'm agonized. Try again. And you don't have to right now.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to, and I'm not trying to beat the crap out of you intellectually. I'm just trying to say, you want to play in that game, you better be able to express what's powerfully and beneficially, it's all about them.
Yes.
And words like transformatic. I mean, you want to go right now online, you want to find 5 million. I mean, Dr. Barry's transformatic.
Yeah.
Healers are transformatic.
No, it's breakthroughs, but I still don't, that's not
that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Why don't you do me this courtesy? Remember what I said about Amazon.com?
Yeah.
Why don't you go online and look at three things? Look at every book on transformation, every book on motivation, every book on finite categories. Look at the titles, write them down, think about them, the subtitles, all the reviews, good and bad, and then try to answer these questions.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's really what it is. Give me a hand.
Thank you.
I'm new in the fashion world, come from real estate, automotive, and just recently, a month ago, I launched a clothing line. I want to create a fashion federation for young, upstart, innovative, niche, premium brands, and create joint venture marketing around that, where we cross-market to each other, and that's how, if I tap into these brands that have 15,000 emails, and I have 3,000,
yeah,
how I can rapidly grow that, but I haven't. My insight today is I need to create an irresistible offer to these brands that are a lot bigger.
And what is the added value to them? Like, I don't think of myself as a negotiator when I go to negotiate. I think of, how do I add the maximum value for someone I want to be a partnership with? And then I have to decide what value I need to get from that as well. But my job is put so much value. And if they can't see that value, if I can't bring the value, they're the wrong partner. If you can't see it, wrong guy. Next, because I also value my time, my energy, my expertise at a certain level. So what is the added value? If you can figure out what to do to add value, you've got the answer. Then you can articulate the offer. So what could you do that would give me certainty that I'm going to get added value? Because otherwise, it sounds like I'm giving you my list. So you can have a bigger list, right?
Yeah.
So how do you get that certainty? And one way to get that certainty would be to go to three of the brands that are the largest and say, let's partner together. I'll do the legwork. I'll do the component. Just the three of you together, there's value. But think about the branding of us in this federation, whatever the right language is. I will do all of those pieces. I will do the heavy lifting. But I want to start with selectively the three best, and you guys are the three best. And you get those, and you get one on board, and you're likely to get the second.
The second, yeah.
But I wouldn't be going out after everything. I wouldn't go after all of the small ones. I always look for where is the critical mass? Where is the leverage point? Where is the moment that if you do that, everything else comes along with it? That's what I'm looking for.
Jay, any ideas rolling through your mind at the moment? I figured.
Go for it.
You can think about this. If you run an ad in, I don't know what millennials read, Men's Health. So an ad's, let's call it 20 grand, 30 grand. At cost, how many pieces of clothes could you give to somebody or buy somebody for 20 grand if your embedded cost is 20 or 30%? You could, I mean, it just find people who already have not just brand status, because that's good, but brand status with affinity access to a controllable list is better. There's much more power in helping someone come to the conclusion themselves. So you might organize, you know, a high-level exploration meeting, too, where you say, I've got this idea, but I'd like you to, let me give you what I see and give me your perspectives and let them have invested ownership with you. How do most of them sell? How do they?
Are they online, a little bit of social media, Facebook, they've
So what you ought to do is isolate all the mechanisms they use. And there's a lot of clinicals that show that these kind of distinctions, if you can integrate them, whether it's online in your telephone or your physical sales force, they produce leverage. And the first thing is, as he said, add value without asking.
Why wouldn't you put together an event where you bring in the very best that all of them are going to recognize, and you sponsor it, you pay for it.
Great idea.
And while they're there, you say, how about we create a partnership together to produce this outcome together that hurts no one and only helps us and helps us serve the millennial at a higher level, and we
like
become
that.
The cartel, basically, for the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys already are individually. Imagine what we could do collectively, and I'll do the legwork. And when you've added the value and they got to know you and they see it's there, now you're somebody. You're not just a guy with a concept.
Our clients actually is a nonprofit organization backed by the feds. So actually my client is the Fed. I love this concept of writing a small booklet of what we bring to the table.
Smart.
And since these clients are scattered all over the country, and so making a brief presentation, letting them know what we bring, why we do what we do, and how we can help them go 300 to 1,000%
yes.
above in performance of what
they're
doing.
How many would be interested in an offer of 300 to 1,000% improvement, right? Right? You got it right away. So you got an ideal offer, you got a booklet to make that happen.
Yep.
How fast could you do that?
What we really need to do is get a location, a facility, either build it, or buy one and do the tenant improvement. Unlike regular practices, this has to be OSH Part 3, which you understand.
Yes.
And that can take us up to 6 months or more sometimes to get it right.
But let me ask you a question. Is there any reason in the interim you can't joint venture with somebody who's already got that and is underutilizing it?
If it's in the right location, we have
no... Well, have you checked out everything that might be possible? If I were you, while you're contemplating that, if it's a matter of you could commence tomorrow, if you have the facility, and I've used this before, your problem, I don't care what your problem is almost always the solution to somebody else's bigger problem. So if somebody's already got a compliant building and they're using half of it, to start, knowing you're going to move, you pay them an incremental, and you could start tomorrow and monetize and validate. A lot of people have a rigid paradigm. I'm just saying be a little more flexible. There's always an ethical shortcut, but you got to be able to think at a higher level of critical. Who's already, somebody, there's a governing, an inspecting, an approval, a list. I mean, you don't have to let them do it. Get somebody to do it for you. The payoff is you could be in business 6 minutes from today instead of 6 months. Capital outlay can be internally financed from the profit.
I would find somebody who's a hungry realtor and say, here's my challenge, here's my problem. I'd like you to solve this for me. And if you do by this time, here's the bonus I'll pay you.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'd let them go crazily to work so you stay focused on the primary aspect of your business. And I wouldn't wait 6 months. There's always another way. And so what you have to do is, it's what it comes though, is you need to develop that sense of urgency inside. And by the way, we just gave you a great principle. What did you just say? There's always an ethical way, what?
Of a shortcut.
There's always an ethical shortcut, right? That's a great principle to have. Just like I believe there's always a third way. There's an ethical shortcut. There's a way to take your problem and it be somebody else's solution.
My company is a trading company.
A trading
company. So now it's in part construction material.
Okay, how do I get a referral from them?
Yeah, right? If they're competing with one another?
Yes.
Okay, let me give you a distinction, and I think Tony's probably more masterful at this than I, but honestly, you got to take the concept to the highest level of practicality. You maybe don't get a referral from them, but you can do three things. You can look up on Facebook all the people that ever worked for them that either were in the industry or know the industry. You can go to all the associations. You can go to the magazines, you can go to the magazines that have contributing authors. You can go to consultants that consult with everybody. There's a lot of other people you can win who have influence and access and respect. So you go upper above that food chain. There are always going to be hierarchies of access, influence, trust. And if you are dealing in an environment where the direct competitors won't, then go to the people that deal with all the direct competitors, either on a compensated basis, an industry basis, an advisory basis. There's always someone who's got access that will have an incentive to refer for you, but you have to use ingenuity.
So I have a Chinese team, and so far I'm just trying to build up the American team, and I really have the trouble of that.
Yes, I see. It's painful.
Yeah, and also...
What do you think of Americans?
Okay, they ask... okay, let me talk Chinese first.
Chinese work hard. You don't need to say any more words. I know what your problem is with your American team. It's because what you believe about Americans. How many saw that?
Yeah.
You didn't have to tell me anything. It's not a skill problem. It's a belief system problem. Now, I could say Americans are the laziest, most self-righteous, most self-expectant human beings on earth, because there are lots of Americans like that. I could say Americans have a raw level of drive and intelligence unlike anyone on earth, and they're the most resourceful humans on earth, because there are a lot of them that represent that. It all depends on which ones you generalize about. When you generalize, you limit your life. You cannot possibly consciously take on everything that's happening in this room right now. The blood pulsing through your left ear, the feeling of your clothing rubbing against your skin. Until I mention those things, you don't even know. Your heartbeat. You don't even think about it. It's not there. It's out of consciousness. So your brain, in order to survive consciously, is a deletion mechanism. It's constantly deleting, and it's generalizing to simplify things. It generalizes, it simplifies, It deletes and it distorts. But when you believe the generalization, the deletion or the distortion, you're now trapped in a world that has a lack of choice. And every one of you, when you've gotten up and given a limitation, the limitation is in your thinking, because you've generalized something about yourself or about the industry. You've made a distortion that says, I have to have these insurance companies to be able to make this thing work. I have trouble with the Americans. You have trouble with the Americans you've hired. And you're really having trouble with your belief systems, because it's making you prejudge. A belief is a poor substitute for experience. And you're operating from beliefs. You're not operating from enough experience. I know you've had some experiences, but not enough. You've got a small subset of Americans you actually worked and interacted with. You have a lot of beliefs about them. You can believe you know what China is, but if you go to China and you live there for 4 or 5 years, now you have a better sense of what China is if you don't just stay in Beijing. And most of us operate based on our beliefs rather than our experience. That's why he and I are constantly breaking up our limits and saying, let's try this.
Let me give you some observations. And these are from me being in China. And there's an Asian culture that is very unilateral and controlling. And one of the good advantages I've had with people who opened their mind and took on this concept of preeminence was that they started being collaborative. They started looking at their team, not just how much they could squeeze out of them, but how much they could grow, develop, and create together. They started being vulnerable and sharing vision. They started really collaborating, and none of that, frankly, is culturally in your country's background, so it's very different. There is an arrogance and an ignorance in people that want to ascribe understanding just by being somewhere. The greatest way that Tony and I have gained is by talking to people, asking questions, listening, and hearing what they said, and reflecting. If I were recommending you, I'd say find everybody you can, call the industry, be humble, and tell them that you're trying to learn it. Don't be arrogant like you know everything. Go use on LinkedIn, join the groups, talk to ex-people that were with other competitors, maybe retired, ask them to mentor you. You have so many ways that you could, but you've got to be willing to, you're a glob of clay, and right now it's dry and hard. You need to be put some water on it and be supple.
You're wanting certainty, and these Americans do not bring certainty. That's one thing they don't bring.
They are a challenge.
And China, there is certainty. There are rules. This is how it works. This is what's going to go on. Yes, look at her. Yes, it feels so good. And if you break the rules, you're in very big trouble. But also, here's the uncertainty in China. They will change the rules at any time. You can become the richest man in the country, and they don't like the way you are, and they can take everything you have. Like that.
Yes.
So that's more uncertainty. Right now, you're just a little stuck in wanting it to be a certain way, and that is your limitation. But if you could embrace uncertainty, which is the real problem, because this is not a problem of skill, this is a problem of psychology. If you could embrace the uncertainty, you could allow yourself to experience something new, and you would find you could get comfortable with these crazy Americans. Wanting life to have a set of rules gives you certainty, but life's ultimate certainty is that nothing is certain except change. Change is the only thing that's certain. No, not death and taxes. According to Ray Kurzweil, death will not even be certain within 100 years. Maybe you'll be downloading your consciousness. It'll be a different form. But change is the only certainty. In other words, uncertainty is the only certainty.
One of the top business intellectuals in the world, Tony Robbins. His work, his seminars, legendary. See him live, read his books, get his programs. Tony Robbins, thank you.